Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday to all of you. Great to be with you. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Look, it's 88 degrees outside. It's okay to sit out on the deck with a nice ice-cold brew and kick back for a little bit. Well, you can do that at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend. Soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. Can't be any easier. And whatever you can do, just go over there. And you know, the pickle bar is second to none, by the way. Unbelievable. Great the pickle bar is. So it's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We'll start out with some really, really awful news. And that is that Connor Darcy of the Penn State men's lacrosse team was killed in a car accident last night. Darcy was really, really good. He had a couple more years of eligibility remaining, and it was just terrible to hear the news. It had been the first ever, you know, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, and it was just heartbreaking. Our deepest condolences going out to the Penn State lacrosse family, the athletic family, and, of course, above all, the personal friends and, of course, the family of Connor Darcy. It's to get such terrible news. I don't know the details of the accident, what happened, but, you know, it was just terrible to hear about it this afternoon when it came up. And Connor Darcy is, was a redshirt sophomore on the team and was the starter in all 14 men's lacrosse matches last season and had a 10.07 goals against average, which is outstanding. So our deepest condolences there.
Was he home?
Yeah, in Wellesley.
Yeah, he was. I was going to say it's up in Wellesley. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, awful to hear. Just terrible, terrible news. But you want to pass it on so that the Penn State fans, you know, at least know what's going on.
He had a stretch there in February where I think it was actually the week he won the Big Ten honors, where he had 18 saves in one game and then another 15 in another.
Yeah, I mean, just just really, really tough news. Really tough. And, meanwhile, Geno Thorpe has left the Penn State men's basketball program, mutually agreed. Geno played really well. Had I liked how he played defensively. He would get into he'd get into you defensively. He'd dive on the floor. He would. I thought improved as the season went along offensively, and I thought he was going to be a vital part of what was going to happen moving on. Normally, you do not get transfers at this time of the year. Normally. Usually, that big transfer window is April and into early May. That's when individual meetings take place. Coach looks at you and says, you know what, maybe you ought to find another spot. Or a player comes in and says, look, I'm not comfortable here. I'm transferring. And that's where it happens. It rarely happens when suddenly it's June the 12th, or in the case of yesterday being June the 11th, where suddenly a player transfers. He brought a lot to the table for Penn State in his time here and was getting better all the time. He also, as we do know, had himself at times off the court a rather up and down history off the court. But part of what made him really good was that grit and tenacity and that attitude that he brought to the table. And for whatever reasons, it was mutually agreed that he would transfer from the program. So Penn State right now operates with 11 scholarship players out of a possible 13 on the team. That just means somebody else, Josh Reeves, Isaiah Washington, Peyton Banks, somebody else is going to have to step up and play and get it done. Could be a start, could be up front. It could be Jordan Dickerson, Brandon Taylor, and maybe Mike Watkins. It could change how Pat wants to play. Instead of having three guards out there, you play with three legitimate forwards out there. But they'll have to do that. People always ask me how wrapped up I get in the comings and goings of players. Well, you know, the graduating part and moving on, you know, it's the end of their career. It's just a natural thing, and you really want them to succeed at anything they do. When they transfer, you want them to succeed no matter what. But at the same time, within the context of what happens with the team, I very quickly make that adjustment mentally and just go on to who's there. Joe Paterno had an old saying when it came to recruiting, and he would tell his staff this. Do not lament who you have lost. Work on who you have. And that's, you know, an attitude that's always carried over with me. In other words, I hope he does really well wherever he goes, because I personally like him. And I liked how he played the game. And I hope wherever he goes, I hope he succeeds and does well. At the same time, he's not a part of the team. I've got to lock in on who is a part of the team and who can make a difference to give them a good season.
I remember he was
That's how I've always looked at it.
I remember he was on one of the final coaches shows. I think it was a coaches show, was one of the members of the audience that asked a question. And they identified him as Eugene.
Which is his name.
Right. But he had fun with that. It was all tongue-in-cheek the whole time.
Oh, no, he's a fun kid, believe me. He's fun to be around, smile on his face, kids around. And then he gets out there with some tenacity, some attitude. I felt his offense, which he was obviously a really good offensive player in high school. He was the second leading scorer in the state when he was at Chandler. Then he came in here and he transformed himself and made himself a really, really good defender. Really good defender. He was the best on-the-ball defender Penn State had. And I felt his offense improved as time went along. And I felt by the end of the final 6 weeks of last season, I thought he'd become a really good all-around player that you felt had an excellent chance on a given night to give you double figures while also doing a really good job defensively.
Steve, I'll ask a question that I know some fans around here would probably ask now. You had mentioned some guys that would have an opportunity here, Josh Reeves being one of them. What about Isaiah Washington?
Well, I mentioned him. That's what
I said. I missed that. I'm sorry. I know that a lot of people are following him.
I said guys like Isaiah Washington, Peyton Banks, Josh Reeves are going to be guys that have to step up into that role. And I said maybe that you change what you do, and instead of three guards, you play three forwards, and Mike Watkins is in that starting something. You know, based on, but Isaiah Washington is going to play this year for Penn State. I guarantee you, unless he's hurt, he will play for Penn State. He was going to play anyway. You watch his jump shot. This is a young man that knows how to shoot a jump shot.
I've seen
it. Whomever taught him about proper elevation, extension, and release, that snap of the wrist and the rotation off the fingertips, whomever taught him that knows exactly what they're doing. He has, without question, maybe the prettiest jump shot I've seen here at Penn State in terms of just pure, fundamentally sound. I mean, there have been some great guys that had some great jump shots here at Penn State. Obviously, Pete Lisicki had one of the great jump shots you'd ever want to see. Isaiah Washington has that really smooth, elevated, extended ball off the fingertips jump shot with that rotation. And I can tell you, he's going to have to be better defensively. That's what any young player has to be. But Isaiah Washington's a guy I think is going to play, and I think this guy's going to score some points.
Yeah,
he is a good-looking ball player.
I had a good look at him in his high school years at Williamsport, and I'll tell you what, that's the one thing that even an untrained basketball eye can see is how well he shot the basketball and how smooth everything was.
I mean, mechanically, it is one of those that you put it on a DVD and you distribute it to kids and say, this is how you shoot a jump shot. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Nothing like heading into the weekend with catch scratch fever. Oh, boy. Some guy on 147 right now is tapping the steering wheel.
And then everybody else is playing air guitar.
Not in the car, dog.
I'm really good at air guitar.
I would sense that you would be great at fake things.
Also really good at, I'm really good at air guitar. I'm really good at Guitar Hero.
Your entire life is a fantasy.
Hey, listen, have you heard some of the songs? No, you haven't. What am I talking about? But if you've listened to any of the songs on Guitar Hero, you'd realize that that's not targeted to my kid. That's targeted to me.
Really?
We're listening to actually one of our stations, Eagle 107, a couple of months ago, and Daniel's like, oh, I know that song from Guitar Hero. Like, there you go. It's only been around since the 70s, and you remember it from Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero?
Okay.
Life is not supposed to take place on Wii.
Actually, Xbox.
Xbox.
Well, if you're going to take an insult at me, at least get it right.
It's not an insult. I didn't insult you. Tell me how inaccurate I am.
I'm not taking it negatively. I mean, it's a friendly jab. I understand that. But if you're going to do that, get it right. It's Xbox. We've grown up from the Wii.
Unreal.
Hey, we got a start time, so you can put it on your calendar for the Buffalo game, so you know what time to arrive.
Yeah, it's noon.
That would be a 10:30 airtime here on WKOK with Steve Jones.
And?
Yeah, I know there's other people on the show. I get it. Yeah, Jeff. I know.
All right.
Steve Jones, Jack Ham, Roger Corey, and a host of thousands. How's that?
And Jeff Tarman.
I forgot He's about there. Tarman. My apologies to Jeff, who's always been very good to me.
It's a team thing. Steve Kerr made all the right moves last night. We talked yesterday extensively about adjustments. And by the way, I thought Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson bounced back. He both had strong games last night talking about adjustment strategy, what was going on, and so forth. I thought they were on top of everything. Andre Iguodala starting the game was a great move because, in part, what has happened is that the Cavaliers have made the Warriors play uphill by getting off to great starts. LeBron has had the run of the floor because nobody really can handle him. There is one guy in the team that has had the ability to at least make him work really hard for his points, and that has been Andre Iguodala. Iguodala made a great point with Doris Burke in the postgame last night when she asked him about that, and he said, look, he said, I've been in the league 10 years. I have faced him so many times in 10 years. He said, at least I know what I'm going to get, and I can anticipate a little bit that helps me out. Well, that's important. And, you know, and of course, he was able to fill the lane on fast breaks. He was able to hit three-point shots. But more importantly, he made sure that LeBron did not get off to that tempo-setting start that he's had in the first three games of the series. And that's what Iguodala did. It was a great move by Steve Kerr. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. We got Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up in the next half hour. Chris Wheeler will be joining us in the 405 half hour. The final half hour, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Time for a news break at the bottom of the hour. We'll get you up to date on everything happening, plus the latest forecast. I'll get ready to talk with Tony DeFazio of the Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin, meanwhile, is going to play fantasy broadcasting.
I've been doing that for 20-some-odd years now. Every day's a dream.
I'm surprised that your fingers and your wrists don't hurt from using the controller for the TV the entire time.
I have some awesome hand-eye coordination, though.
If we could only figure out a way to put it to good use for humanity.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In a few minutes, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Chris Wheeler, next half hour. And Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Big show today. Today, another difficult day in the fantasy life of Kevin Herr, where Sunbury Motors had to rip the keys out of his cold, dead, lifeless fingers.
Yeah, it was a tough one, as most Fridays are when you have to turn in the nice vehicles that Sunbury Motors gives me the opportunity to talk about. And this week we've been talking about the 2015 Ford C-Max SEL, the Ford C-Max Energy SEL. And that one gives you the option of the electric as well as gas motor. And to top it all off, you'll also have the opportunity to run it as a hybrid vehicle. So you get the best of just about every world when it comes to gas mileage. And when we finish the week out, we finish the week out at 108 miles to the gallon. And don't worry, you're not going to sacrifice comfort, because this actually has plenty of room in the back seat. For a small hatchback, you would not expect to see that much room. But they have really kind of set it up like the Focus and kind of stretched the cab out and made it a little bit higher as well, just to give you more room in the interior. It also has the power liftgate and the kick liftgate, where you put your foot underneath the bumper, pull it out, and the liftgate opens automatically for you. Very handy when you're putting in groceries in the back of the Ford C-Max Energy. And by the way, this car is perfect for back and forth to work, driving around town and a couple of day trips and that sort of thing, where you can average, according to the sticker, 88 miles to the gallon. Find out more about the C-Max, available from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. That's the Ford dealership. And you can also visit them online and see their entire inventory there at sunburymotors.com.
And, of course, today's show is being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrew. Stock up for the weekend. They have the best selection of beer anywhere. Great parking situation there. Go in, load up, and soft drinks, snacks. I mean, I love the way the store is laid out. It's so easy to find everything in there. Plus, they have plenty of help in case you need it. And peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. They're right there at the register in the bags. And the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket.
They have hand trucks, too, at the door that you just wheel around and then put everything you want on the hand truck so you don't have to carry it all over the place. That's very, very handy.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you have a really big, big weekend of gaming coming up,
you
should make sure you're stocked.
There's no question.
You have some pride, man. I mean, really. All right.
I'm telling you, you got to come over for a visit sometime and experience this, and then you'd understand. It's like, all right, I can see where you like this. This isn't half bad.
No.
No, I don't say I didn't make the invitation.
I've got three boys here that have played video games the entire time. I never participated.
Not even in the sports video games.
No.
You're missing out on an entire world, Stephen.
Yes, I know. I went out today. I walked. I played golf. I swung a golf club. I sweated. Yeah. I could have sat in front of the TV set and say, "Oh, let's see now. How far can Tiger hit it here?" All right.
I never play Tiger Woods. I always play myself.
Do you break par?
All the time. I'm awesome in the video game world. I stink in the real world. Now you know why I play golf in the video game world.
Hey, let's closely examine. I want you to think about those two critical words as I talk to Tony DeFazio here.
All right.
Real world. Tony, welcome. It is great to have you back with us.
Always good to talk sports on a Friday afternoon.
Same here, Tony. Charlie Morton has not only been outstanding so far this year, but his last 11 starts dating back to last season at PNC Park, he's been outstanding. What have you seen? Go ahead. What have you seen in him, Tony?
Well, you know, I think the main thing with Morton is that he is healthy. You know, he's one of those guys that needs to be probably about 97% in order to be effective. He's not a guy who can pitch through an injury, and that's not a knock on Charlie Morton. He just needs to have everything going in order to succeed at the major league level. I think when he's dealing with maybe a little pain in one of the hips or you know, some knee pain or ankle pain, he's just not able to get major league hitters out with the stuff that he has. But when he's healthy, he's been an above average major league pitcher. And yeah, these last four games, and I don't know what it is about PNC Park necessarily. I mean, obviously he locates the ball very well. His sinker, you know, when it's going strong and when he's locating everything else, he's a heck of a ground ball pitcher. And he, you know, uses the park and uses the deep outfield, in the left field portion of the park to his benefit. And he's able to do those sorts of things. I think he's learned how to pitch, as well. But yeah, I mean, when Charlie Morton has everything going and he's completely healthy, he's a very good pitcher, and it was going to be interesting to see how he bounced back, Steve, from his third start, which was just so-so.
Right.
It was a five-inning start, gave up three runs, and he bounced back in a great way and really probably pitched as well as any Pirate has this year in his last start.
Yeah, I mean, no question about that. And Andrew McCutchen, I mean, now he's the team leader in hitting at 292. It just seems at this point he's in one of those streaks where he's almost impossible to get out.
Yeah, and, you know, you can tell that, you can tell in the way the opposition approaches him now. He's not getting many pitches to hit, and he is in one of those zones where, you know, he's only seen a handful of pitches a game, and he's doing something more often than not with those pitches. The Pirates had Starling Marte in a bit of a slump not too long ago. They batted him second to get him out of his slump. He batted in front of Andrew McCutchen. Starling Marte saw 20 pitches that game, Steve. 15 of them were fastballs. You have to pitch to whoever is in front of McCutchen because you don't want to put, you don't want to have to pitch to McCutchen. And so that's how he helps other people in that lineup. And yeah, I think whatever his issue was, I think it was some knee issue. And we talked about Charlie Morton not being able to, to succeed when he's not fully healthy. Right. I think Andrew McCutchen learned how to play with the knee, with a knee that is still bothering him. I think he just needed to learn, how to deal with that because it's probably going to bother him the rest of the season.
All right. I knew very little about Jung Ho Kang until he started playing. Only what you heard of him.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like they got their $5 million. They've been able to get their $5 million worth out of the guy.
I think so. I mean, he, the defense is slow right now. That was the one issue that Neil Huntington didn't speak all that confidently about was his ability to adjust and play at this level at a high level defensively, and he still is struggling. But the bat has come around. He hits the ball hard. He really does. I mean, obviously Pedro Alvarez can mash the ball, but Jung Ho Kang hits the ball as hard as anybody else in that lineup. And I think the impressive thing is he has gone through some periods of slumps, but they've been short and he's been able to react and come out of them. So as the league adjusts to him, he's been able to adjust back. And that's sort of Clint Hurdle's mantras as to how you can have success. You've got to continue to adjust to this league. And in a short time, he's shown the ability to do that.
Between Cervelli and Stewart, how surprised are you by the offense the catcher spot is providing the Pirates?
Yeah, shocked. I mean, I thought, Stewart's a guy who's always been your typical backup catcher. He's solid defensively. Yeah. He hits occasionally in the clutch, but you're not going to depend on him for offense. And Cervelli, he didn't play that much. He really was a backup. He had the steroid issue. So there certainly were questions, with Cervelli, but he's playing every day. And I don't think I think people thought maybe he could hit 260, 270, if everything went well. Guy's hitting 330. I don't know if we can expect that to continue or not, but he's hitting well. He's hitting in the clutch. He sees the ball very, very well. He might have the best eye on the team, so he's not going to give any outs away, which is huge on a team that, quite frankly, does give outs away. This team strikes out a ton. Cervelli's been able to avoid that as well. So, things are rolling right now. I know they just lost 2 out of 3, but, that's baseball, I guess. That's going to happen on occasion. The bats went cold a little bit, but they're really starting to play as well as I think people thought they could. Problem is, so are the Cardinals.
Right. And the Cardinals, they won't back off.
Right.
And they won't back off at all, even though they've lost Adam Wainwright. Yet,
yeah,
to me,
it's unreal with the injuries they're dealing with.
It really is. To me, a team that succeeds in the postseason must have its lead guy be a power pitcher. You must have a guy that can take a fastball and blow it by somebody in October, because at that point everybody's tired, everybody's right to the end, the tanks are almost empty. When you watch Gerrit Cole, are we watching an absolute number one ace?
At this point on, what is today, June the 13th, June the 12th, I think that we have to answer that yes. I mean, obviously we're going to need to see what happens in July and August and September and on throughout his career. But boy, on June 13th of his third season, it really looks like the answer to that question is yes. He can throw, 95 most of the game, and then in the seventh inning with two guys on base and one out, and he needs that strikeout, all of a sudden that 99-mile-an-hour heater shows up. And he's able to reach back and do the things that you're talking about that an ace needs to be able to do. He can do those things. He has an incredible gear most of the time, and he's able to find another one when he really needs it. So far, I think that's a resounding yes. Again, the rest of the season has to unfold. But, yeah, you can count my money squarely on the yes side of that answer.
Look, he's had 12 starts, 10 are quality starts, 9 wins, 2 losses. He has 11 fewer hits given up than innings pitched. 78 innings, 67 hits. I mean, those are big-time numbers now. 4.5-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. You can look at the basic of the ERA of 1.73, but if you take it inside the numbers, he has been something else for them. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah, I mean, he really has been lights out. It seems like he's getting better and better and better. Again, you talk to the catchers about him, and Chris Stewart catches him, bulk of his starts. And, Stewart is, you can tell Stewart's just thrilled to be able to catch a guy like that because it's a much easier work day. You know, whatever you put down, as far as a pitch, you know, your guy has it. Garrett has it. And they've got a trust together going right now as well. He doesn't shake off Chris Stewart very much. And the results will tell you why not, because the results certainly have been there. So, he's been a pleasure to watch. He really has been.
And you can go over to Dick's Sporting Goods, buy a new catcher's mitt, and Cole's got it broken in by the third inning. I mean, so really, it's terrific. There's been a big focus, obviously, with the NBA Finals going on right now, and part of the focus has been the two coaches, David Blatt and his background and Steve Kerr with his background. And Steve Kerr did a lot of his playing in a long career with Phil Jackson and did a lot of work playing and also coaching around Greg Popovich. And Kerr will tell you that it's 90% in coaching in his game is creating an environment, personalities important, so forth. And he says 10% strategy. I'm going to say it's like 75-25. Has Clint Hurdle in a lot of ways done that in terms of creating that kind of environment in that Pirate clubhouse just through his personality, how he treats them, how he treats the club, how he treats the long grind?
I think he has. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think Clint Hurdle, to his credit, I think he's changed from the days when he was in Colorado. I think he didn't trust his veterans enough. I think that he realized he maybe tried to control things a little too tightly, and a lot of people don't learn. A lot of people try to do things the same way over and over at that level. And to Hurdle's credit, I think he's definitely learned from those days, and he puts a lot of faith in his leaders, a lot of faith in the guys in the clubhouse, and he gives them a lot of leash. And they have so far certainly done a very good job with it. I think his faith in the veterans, and you talked about the daily grind, that may be where Hurdle does the best job, is simply maintaining a positive focus. And, he said after the game, the second game against Milwaukee, when they couldn't get any hits off of this young rookie pitcher making his major league debut, Hurdle said, listen, I've seen this game 100 times. I don't have to like it, but this is the game we play. I just have to be able to go play another one tomorrow. And he's really got the team thinking that way. They've overcome a lot of bad losses here or there throughout the past couple of seasons, a lot of losses that could be devastating losses, and they've bounced right back and played the next day. They really do a good job of treating every loss like it's just another game. And I think that a lot of that credit has to go to Clint Hurdle.
We're in an interesting time in the NFL. We're in OTAs, which the vast majority are voluntary. Yet players have been demoted, cut, for missing the voluntary stuff. The Steelers ship has been pretty smooth, and Ben Roethlisberger has had nothing but glowing things to say about what is around him. When you look at what Ben has talked about, it just sounds to me like he's confirming what a lot of people have a gut feeling about, that they've got some pretty good weapons over there.
They really do. And, a happy Ben makes for a happy Steelers offense. There's no question about that.
And
I think it
fans.
Took Roethlisberger a while to realize that, hey, what these coaches are doing, what the GM is giving him, in the end is going to be good for him. He's certainly on board now, though. And, I also think the offensive line is as good a line as Ben has played behind. There were some low bars set for the offensive line, but especially the guards in the center. Those three guys, the interior of that line is excellent right now. And, yeah, he's got plenty of weapons. And they added another in the big kid from Auburn who I don't think has to be great. I think he just maybe needs to be fast and show decent hands from time to time, to make an impact. So But the other side of that, though, Steve, they're going to have to put some points up because I'm sure. still not sure this defense has gotten much better.
Right. No, exactly. I mean, everybody understands that. But they certainly have, I think, what Steeler fans have to be excited about moving forward. But look, it also, you know, you talk about a hat, you know, they have one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. And here's the other one too. Jesse James has talked about Heath Miller as a mentor for him. The importance of Jesse James breaking into the NFL, having a guy like that in front of him that actually wants to talk to him and teach him.
Well, you know, it's one thing for you and I to look at the situation that James goes into and says, you know, and say, boy, it's going to be great to play behind Heath Miller. But from day one, Jesse James recognized that. And, you know, you spend a little bit of time at these OTA sessions and you look to find Jesse James. He's tied at the hip to number 83. He is right next to Heath Miller, asking him questions, going to him after drills, going to him after every rep. He's doing exactly what a kid like him should be doing. Now, it didn't hurt that he probably grew up, well, he did grow up watching this guy play.
Sure.
You know, he's from right down the street and obviously played right in Pennsylvania and all of those things. So I think he has a real good understanding of how good, not only how good Heath Miller is, but how much Heath Miller can help him. And yeah, having a guy who's happy and willing to answer all those questions is a big thing. So as the season goes on, it's going to be interesting to me to watch Jesse James and how he progresses. It may not happen in September, but November maybe. You know, you might see Matt Spaeth's playing time start to decrease because I think Jesse James has a chance to really blossom.
Tony, it's always a pleasure. I hope you have a great weekend, and I enjoy the weekly talks very much.
Thank you very much, Steve. Have a good weekend yourself.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Chris Wheeler, next half hour. Kevin Herr's complete analysis of the interview in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Nothing. Nada. Zilch.
That's what you'll pay this summer to drive a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
That's right. You can own a brand new in-stock Kia and pay nothing for the summer. That's 0% APR for up to 66 months. And Kia will pay your first 3 months. Sunbury Motors Kia has a great selection of 2015 Kia Optimas, Optima Hybrids, Fortes, and the award-winning Sedona Van. Take that summer vacation. Do those outdoor summer repairs and pay nothing for the summer on your new Kia. It's worry-free driving. No payments. And Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. And this just in. Kia is now offering 0% APR financing for up to 66 months, plus $500 bonus cash for qualified buyers on 2015 sold. Summertime and the drive is easy. With the help of Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
0% APR financing, all qualified customers who came at restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Chris Wheeler, next half hour. Be great to have Wheels back on the show. Final half hour, Ben Jones, statecollege.com. We'll talk about Geno Thorpe leaving the Penn State basketball program. Again, normally in late spring, second week of June, that normally doesn't happen. The list of transfers across the country is long and deep. It is 700+. And in April, and mostly in, it's most of it's in April, some of it in May, it resembles the waiver wire. Well, once you really get past that May 20th area, right around there, you know, semesters are over. Your coaches have already had their individual meetings with players. We're in the individual meeting. It's like, yeah, I got to work on this, work on that. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Or it's, I'm not so sure this is working out here on our end, you know, or the player says, hey, this isn't working out for me. We have those individual meetings. Then when that's done, you really feel like you've cleared all the barriers. But Geno Thorpe, it was mutually agreed upon, will no longer be a part of the Penn State basketball program. Brought a lot of energy to the floor. Good defender, really good defender. Became a better offensive player as time went along. I thought it was going to be an important part of the team coming up this upcoming season, but you move on. You look at Peyton Banks, you look at Isaiah Washington, you look at Josh Reeves, maybe bigger with Mike Watkins. You figure out a way. They're going to have 11 scholarship players on this year's team instead of the top out number of 13. Chris Wheeler, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.